Okay. That's good. I want to read to you this morning a message. Rick Warren actually wrote it, and Tim adapted it, and I edited it just a tiny bit, but it's called Come Alive this Easter. Subtitle is Living the Better Life. I like that. The night before Jesus Christ was crucified, he made a very strange statement that nobody who heard it understood. He said, "In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I'm alive and you're about to come alive." What in the world did he mean? They're thinking, we're already alive. What does he mean when he says, you're about to come alive? Easter is about coming alive. Jesus Christ proved he was who he said he was. He said, I'm God. I'm going to let them kill me on a cross. I'm going to be buried in the ground for 3 days, and then I'm going to bring myself back to life to prove I am who I say I am. He walked around Jerusalem, and ever since that time, history has been split into B.C. and A.D. Every time you say 2021, you're referring to Jesus Christ, about 2021 years since that event. Almost everybody knows that part of the Easter story. What most people don't know is the second part of the story, and that involves you. He, talking about Jesus here, he included everyone in his death so everyone could be included in his life, a far better life than people lived on their own. So that's our focus this morning. What is this better life? In Winneshiek County, we think we know a lot about the good life. In fact, you might think we are living the good life here. You got a good home, maybe you've got a good family, you got a decent enough job, you're probably even in good health. Maybe some of us would question that. Tim? You've got it pretty good. And you're right, compared to the rest of the world, you've got it pretty good. But what if there was something more? What if beyond the good life, there was a better life? What if you're missing out on something that you didn't even know about? What if God had intended more than just the good life for you, but he intended the better life? Wouldn't you want to know about it? Of course you would, and so would I. We often settle for less because we don't know that there's anything better. It's like preferring pureed beets. You can tell this is Tim's. It's like preferring pureed beets because you don't know there's something much better like pizza. Just another shout out to Olivia for providing pizza last week. Thank you. So, why are you here this morning? Is it because it's Easter? Are you here for the food? I believe that God brought you to Lifehouse Church on this Easter Sunday so he could let you in on a little secret. There's something better. There's way, way more than just the good life. And that's okay, but there's far more than that. You were made for more than the good life. You know, looking good, feeling good, having the good, but that's okay, but it's just not the best life. There's way more than that, and there's a better life. We, as Lifehouse Church, have been in Winneshiek County now for 11 years, kind of today-ish was our anniversary. April 1st, I think, was Good Friday, perhaps, 11 years ago. Anyway, we've been here 11 years, and I've personally talked to hundreds of people. I've discovered that beneath this image of the good life are three dirty little secrets that nobody likes to talk about. One, people feel exhausted. They're worn out. They say, I'm tired all the time, and it's not because they have COVID. They can't keep up the pace. They say things like, I'm overloaded. When I get home in the evening, I crash. I'm worn out. I'm out of energy. I'm exhausted. They feel like they are working all the time. The second thing, emptiness. You say, I don't think I've got anything inside me. I feel empty inside. In those quiet moments, we're thinking, if this is the good life, how come I'm still unsatisfied? Why don't I feel more meaning in life? And by the way, what is the meaning of all this? Getting more and having more or accomplishing more? I got my stimulus check. If that's so good, why don't I feel satisfied? And the third thing I call enslavement. I couldn't count the number of times people have said to me, I feel stuck. I feel trapped by my debt. I don't know if I'm ever going to get out of it. I feel trapped in a relationship, either with a girlfriend or boyfriend or in a marriage. I feel trapped by the expectations of other people around me. I feel trapped by guilt. I feel trapped by fear. I feel trapped by my own anger. I feel trapped by bitterness over somebody who's hurt me. I'm a slave to pot, to alcohol, to porn. You ever feel like any of these? Emptiness, exhaustion, feeling trapped? Got good news for you today. There is an antidote. It's called the better life. The reason God brought you here today is so that you can learn about the better life. There is something more, and you're going to hear about it today. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you that this empty tomb means life, a better life. What Luke was talking about earlier. My game is over. It's your life now. Hebrews says we have entered your rest. We have entered what you have finished and accomplished. And so I just ask you again this morning, you know, we come from different positions here. We're in different stages of life, even spiritually. We're in different spots. I pray you'd take this message and put it where it needs to go for each one. In Jesus' name. Amen. And he will do that. Well, what is this better life that Jesus Christ offers us? It's three things. Number one, it's a life filled with meaning. The greatest tragedy in life is not death. It's to go through your entire life without knowing your purpose, without meaning, without knowing what on the earth am I here for. Unfortunately, most people go through life never knowing their purpose, never knowing why God put them on earth. I'll be blunt. The good life is not good enough. Looking good, feeling good, having the good, that's not enough to make you happy. If that were true, Hollywood would be the most happy place in the world. In fact, it's just not that way. Its divorce rate is higher than anywhere else, of course. We know that. It takes more than money. It takes meaning for your life to have significance. A lot of people confuse a full life with a meaningful life. They are not the same. Having a full schedule is not the same thing as having a fulfilled life. You need meaning. So we search for meaning in all kinds of different ways. We think, if I just get one more of those possessions, then that will add meaning to my life. But there's always more to get. Or if I can accomplish certain things in my life, then I will have meaning. But there's always more to accomplish. So we search for meaning through all kinds of things, through hobbies, through sports, through travel, through relationships, through sex, through food. These are all good things in their proper context. There's nothing wrong with any of them. It's just that they don't last. And when the experience is over, where do you get your meaning in those down times? You need something that gives you constant meaning. Eternal meaning. Where do you go to get that? There's only one place, from the God who created you. The Bible says this, Christ gives meaning to your life. You were made by God. You didn't make yourself. God made you. If God didn't want to make you, you wouldn't even be alive. He made you for a purpose. And until you understand the purpose he put you on earth for, you can't step up from the good life to the better life. The Bible says this, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life. We have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and that future starts now. In other words, that's what eternal life is. This is a very, very important verse in the Bible. I want to point out three or four things just from this one verse. First, notice that this better life, whatever it is somehow connected to what Jesus Christ did at Easter. Somehow his coming back to life enables me to live a better life. Better than just the good life, whatever that is. The second thing to notice is the better life is not just an addition to your old life, something that you just, you know, kind of tack on, add on. It's a whole new deal. It's a brand new life. God wants to give you a brand new life. Have you noticed how many packages say new and improved? What that means is same old junk with a new title. There's very little new in this world. It's all just repackaged, repositioned, relabeled, and retitled. There's very little that's actually new in the world. But God says, I want to give you a brand new life. I want to give you a chance to start over. That's the starting point of a better life. We'll just give you a brand new life. It's incredible. Anyone here a golfer? Devin's here. What is a mulligan? Okay, thank you, because I didn't know and I needed you to answer that. Jesus Christ wants to give you a mulligan for your life. He says, you know all these stupid things you've done in the past and you regret and you wish you had done differently. Dumb decisions, bad mistakes, sins, faults, failures, whatever you want to call them. Let's just erase those and start over. I'll just say, let's begin a brand new life. Step up from the good life to the better life. We'll wipe out all that other stuff, and you can just begin again. What a deal. No more guilt. No more guilty conscience. Wiped out. Begin over. Start over. You say, that sounds pretty good. How do I get it? Well, you don't earn it. You can't work for the better life. In fact, it says in that verse, we've been given a brand new life. It's a gift. You don't earn it. Let me summarize the whole Bible for you in just maybe about 5 sentences. You were made by God to have a relationship with Him. That's a fact. A personal relationship. God knows and loves you, and He wants you to know and love Him. I'm not talking about religion here. God couldn't care less about religion. God is more interested in a relationship with you. You were made to have a relationship with God. There's only one problem. God is perfect, and you are not. And neither am I. So there's a big gap between me and God and between you and God. Obviously, I can't overcome that gap. Sometimes you're praying, and you feel like your prayers are a million miles away. There's a gap between you and God. God said, I'll fix that. I'll come to earth. And He did that about 2,021 years ago in the form of a person named Jesus Christ. He said, I'll die for all the sins of the world, pay for everything that's been done wrong, so you don't have to pay for it, so that you don't have to make up for it. I'll give you complete freedom. I'll give you a mulligan on your life. I'm so glad you defined that. A mulligan on your life, and I'll let you start over with a brand new one. And not only that, He says that we have so much, everything to live for. I'll give you meaning. Several weeks ago, we talked about a South Wind teenager who committed suicide. That's always tragic when someone takes their life. We ask, why? Why did they do that? I'm sure the loved ones of this young man are saying, he had so much to live for. Evidently, he didn't think so. There's a big difference between having something to live for and having something to live on. He had a lot to live on. He was young and healthy, but he had nothing to live for. It doesn't matter how much you have to live on if you have nothing to live for. What you live on is the good life. What you live for is the better life. I'm going to tell you the truth right now. You will never be happy living for yourself. You weren't made to live for yourself. In fact, I'll give you hundreds of examples that show the more selfish you are, the more self-centered you are, the more miserable you are. It goes together. It's a package deal. You were not made to live for you. You were made to live for God. When you start to live for God, that's when you discover real happiness, real meaning, real significance, real purpose, real value for your life. Because you're not living for a petty little you anymore. You're living for God. The beginning of better life begins when you stop living for you and you start living for God. And then God says, let me tell you why I have a purpose for your life. And then you start enjoying it. The Bible says, He, Jesus, died so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died and for us and was raised to life for our sake. God says, you weren't made to live for you. You were made to live for me. When you live for God, you're plugged into God. That gives you meaning. This gives you significance. It gives you purpose. This better life is not just a life with meaning. It is also a life filled with grace and freed by grace. What does that even mean? The Bible says this, we're free to live a new life in the freedom of God. It all comes by grace. We're free to live a new life, freedom of God, but it comes by grace. What is that? What is this grace? Grace is when God gives you what you need, not what you deserve. That's grace. Everything you have in your life is because of God's grace. The next breath you take is because of grace, the gift of grace. If God didn't want you to take it, your heart would stop. It would have stopped a long time ago. Your whole life you owe to the grace of God. You have nothing if God hadn't decided to give it to you. So grace is saying, I love you. I forgive even though you can't earn it. I forgive you. Grace is saying, I'm not mad at you. I'm not holding a grudge because Jesus Christ has taken your sin on the cross. Grace is God saying, I'm going to give you a second chance, and a third, and a fifth, and a 25th, and 125th. Grace is the road to freedom. What has Jesus Christ set us free from? Lots of stuff. First, He set you free from guilt. All the things you feel guilty about, He wipes them out. He gives you that mulligan. He sets you free from the fear of death. I'm not afraid to die. Why? Because I know God personally, and I have a relationship with Him, and I know where I'm going. He sets you free from the hurts that other people cause you, that bitternesses that you otherwise couldn't let go of. You keep holding on to that anger, you can let it go now. He sets you free from the expectations of other people. That's a neat one. He sets you free to be yourself. He sets you free to grow and develop and become all that God meant you to be. That's what grace does. He sets you free from worry. He sets you free from anxiety. He sets you free from fear, from boredom, from meaninglessness, from no purpose. Jesus sets you free to stop trying to earn God's approval. Does God like you? You may be unsure about that if you don't understand grace. Some of you were raised in a religious home. Every religion in the world can be summarized in one of two words, do or done. All the religions in the world basically say this, here's what you must do to get God to like you. Then they have their own different lists. One will say these things, another will say those things, a third will say it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. If you do all these things, then God will smile and say you're cool. Jesus Christ came to earth to say that's all wrong. That's not it. I'm not into religion. I want you to have a relationship with me. And I've already done it all for you. You don't have to do it. You just have to accept what I've already done on the cross. That's called grace. In this sense, there are two paths you can choose in this life. One is to spend the rest of your life trying to earn God's approval by your effort doing certain things. The other is to enjoy God's approval by accepting what Jesus Christ has already done for you. You just accept that gift. The first way just doesn't work. It never worked. It will never work. In fact, God says it doesn't work. He himself says it. It doesn't work. The Bible says it doesn't work. You can't earn God's approval by things you do. Here's what he says. The old system, that old system of trying to earn by works God's approval and love, it was canceled because it didn't work. It was weak and useless for saving people. It never made anyone really right with God. But now we have a far better hope, for Christ makes us acceptable to God. He said, I just canceled the old system. When a product doesn't work, what do? They cancel it. They take it off the shelf. I recently had a recall on my Subaru because the passenger airbag might blow up and kill somebody. They wanted to take it out of my car. They did. They corrected it. Well, God canceled the idea of you trying to earn your own way into heaven because it doesn't work. Heaven is perfect. And as I've already pointed out, you're not. There's no way you're ever going to earn your way into heaven. You might as well forget that one. It doesn't work. God canceled that plan a long time ago. He said there's only one way to get into heaven, and there's only one way to get the better life. That is to accept my grace, my gift, my love, and what Jesus has done for you. The better life is a gift, and it's a free gift. Certainly not cheap. It's free, but it's not cheap. Somebody had to pay for it. It was a very expensive gift. You know who paid for it? You do. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid for your salvation. He paid so that you could live a better life. He paid for your freedom. The Bible says this, he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. There's a word for this. It's called redemption. To be redeemed means to have your freedom paid for. This word came out of the slave trading years. In the slave trading years, people would intentionally buy slaves in order to set them free. Those people were called redeemers. They would redeem a slave. They would say, slavery is wrong, it's evil, this person deserves to be set free. So they would buy that person's freedom and then let them go. They were redeemed. Jesus Christ came to redeem you, to set you free from all the things that keep you hung up. And all the things that entrap you, habits and hurts and hang-ups, all the things that mess up your life, he says, I want to set you free from it, and I want to give you a new life of real freedom. So this better life is filled with meaning, and it's freed by grace, but it is also full of energy. You ever get tired just thinking about all the stuff you have to do? A decade or so ago, the USA Today reported in Ridgewood, New Jersey, a worn-out mother named Maria got fed up with her family's overscheduled lifestyle. She was constantly juggling her kids' homework, music lessons, soccer practice, swim meets, ballet, and SAT sessions. This turned into a citywide revolt against having too many activities. So this last Tuesday, this report says, the entire town of Ridgewood, New Jersey, canceled everything so that people could stay home and do nothing. The city family night was called Ready, Set, Relax. School officials promised homework amnesty. Sports teams canceled all their games and practices. Clubs and clubhouses canceled all their evening classes. Then this notoriously overscheduled suburb took a collective timeout on a Tuesday. The mayor said, we're all severely overextended. We're victims of our own success. So they planned a night where nothing was planned. We just needed downtime. Many families actually cooked their own dinner together and helped each other with the cleanup, and then they played board games unopened since Christmas. Of course, that was before COVID. Here's the irony. People were so addicted to activity that they didn't know what to do. So they asked for a list of suggested activities to be doing something. Others wanted to turn it into a competitive contest for who had the best family night. No wonder they're out of energy all the time. You notice that when you are low on energy, little problems become big problems? Yeah. Have you ever noticed that when you don't have a whole lot of patience because your energy is low, the littlest tiny things tick you off? I'll tell you why that is. You're running on your own energy, and your battery is about to give out. You were never even meant to live on your own power. Did you know that? Hebrews says this: we have entered his rest. I have many times encouraged myself with this thought. I'm on vacation. I work quite a few hours, but I'm on vacation. It's not my work. I'm working with him and doing his will. I'm on vacation. I'm enjoying life. It's no wonder you're tired all the time. God meant you to be plugged into his power, not to go through life just living on your own energy. The Bible says, those who feel tired and worn out will find new life and energy. And then in Zechariah 4:6, you will not succeed on your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. God wants you to plug into his power. Here's the good news. The same power that he demonstrated when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, when he came back to life to prove he was God, that same power is available to you on a daily basis. Once the Spirit lives within you, he will bring your whole life and being new strength and vitality. God wants to give your life a lot of energy. A life full of energy. So you got a choice. You can go through the rest of your life living the good life, disconnected from God's power, or you can live the better life, plugged into God's power. It's your choice. Whichever one you choose, you're still going to have problems, because life is a series of problems. The difference is, with God in your life, with Christ in your life, you have energy that you don't have on your own power. Many of us have experienced this. He gives it to you on a day-by-day basis. The Bible says this: even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. I think that's the Message Bible. I like that version. It's Ephesians 4. I'm sure that's the verse. You may have come to Easter service today a little tired, a little worn out. You may be on edge, you know, like Luke was talking about. We got a lot of stuff going on here. You may have felt like giving up on a relationship or a job or school, or maybe you feel like giving up on your health because you're just not getting any better. Don't do it. Don't give up. Look up. Look up to God. Don't give up. Give it and give in. Give in to Christ and say, Christ, I'm going to start living for you and not for me. He'll give you new power and new energy to do the things that he puts on you on this earth to do. He'll give it to you on a daily basis. Not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Has God even been trying to get your attention? Probably so. I think he's trying to get our attention. I think that's why he brought you here on Easter Sunday 2021, so he could say to you, the good life is not good enough. I want you to step up to the better life, the life you were intended to live from the beginning. You say, it sounds good. How can I get it? How can I get this life of meaning and energy and purpose and freedom? Again, you can't earn it. You just accept it. It's a gift. You have faith and you believe and you receive. The Bible says everybody comes alive in Christ. It's in a relationship with Jesus that you get this better life. You don't get it through religion. Come into Lifehouse. You get it through a relationship with God. In fact, Jesus said this in the book of John, "I came so that you might have life, real and eternal, and a better life than you ever dreamed of." That's why he came. Instead of feeling empty and enslaved and exhausted, he says, "I want you to have meaning and freedom and energy." That's what Easter's about. It's not about crowds. It's about personally getting to know God. Earlier this year, Tim Garrigus decided that he was going to step up to the better life. He wanted to know God's purpose for his life and live the plan that God made for him. His faith was echoed loudly in this statement. This is what he said. "My sin looks so small compared to what he did." Truer words have never been spoken. I'm going to close today with a prayer. You can pray to begin the better life like Tim did. It's like the prayer I prayed many years ago. I haven't always been a believer. There was a day in my life when I said, "The good life is not good enough. I want to start living the way God intended me to live." I stepped across that line. You don't have to pray this prayer loud. God knows your heart. He knows the very thoughts you're thinking right now. In fact, he's seen every thought you've ever had. So you don't need to pray out loud. In fact, you don't even have to say these words. They aren't magical or mystical or anything. It's really the attitude of your heart. Say, "God, me too. I want to start living for you instead of living for me." So first I'm going to pray, and then you can follow me in a prayer. Father, there are people here today I know who have never begun a relationship with you. They know about you. They believe in God. They just haven't ever really known you. I pray that you would give them the courage to open their heart and their mind and life to you right now. And now you pray. Just pray something like this. "Dear God, I want to start living the better life. I realize that you made me for more than just the good life. So as much as I know how, I want to start living for you and not myself. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. I don't understand that, so you're going to have to help me out with it. But I want to open up my life to you, Jesus Christ. As best as I know how, I want to get to know you. I invite you to be the manager of my life, the CEO, the boss. You call the shots from this day forward. I want to learn to trust you. I want to exchange the good life for the better life. Thank you. Amen." I have two last requests. One is that if you prayed that way and put your faith in Jesus, would you let me know, please? And number two, stick around for an Easter lunch. Let's pray again. Father, I thank you so much. Oh, many of us know this message. It's good to hear it again. God, we thank you for a salvation so rich, so free, and so costly. I pray you'd give us grace here to commingle and not be selfish in our eating, but gracious with one another. I pray we'd see one another in the Spirit, see what you're doing in one another here today, and just determine right now, I'm going to be an encouragement. Thank you for this meal that we're going to share also in Jesus' name. Amen. What's that? No, that's okay.